All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf tes. We are picking up the Meretz Hashem on daf ches amud beis, and we are picking up at meisvei, which is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So meisvei, the Gemara asks the kasha. So remember, we're dealing in the sugya now of trying to figure out the status of rochev. When it does riding an animal give one the ability to acquire the animal or not? So the Gemara says the following meisvei. So remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that if there are two people sitting and riding an animal, that Lamaisa, again, they have the ability to acquire it. Money, so whose opinion does this reflect? So we'll say, if we say it's Rabbi Meir, so according to Rabbi Meir holds that even just sitting in the wagon has the ability to acquire it. Does riding the animal goes without saying? Elalav Rabbanon. Rather, it must be according to the Rabbanon, Ushma mina rochuv kani. And see from here that what? That going ahead and riding on the animal has the ability to go ahead and acquire. How am I asking? So we'll say, what's the case over here? The manhig biraglov. So we'll say, which the Gemara says, no, maybe the case over here of where we go ahead and we say that lamaisa riding the animal works is where really you're driving the animal. Ultimately, again, by kicking it a little bit and causing it to move. If that's the case, then isn't that the same case as manhig? Trey gavni manhig. So also at the end of the day, the Gemara says that there are two different cases of manhig. One case of manhig is where you're leading the animal. The other case of manhig is where you're riding it, but spurring it on to move. We'll say our shir this morning is sponsored by Yerachmiel and Sharon Buck, in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Yerachmiel's grandfather, Max J. Brown, Mordechai Ben Meir. Zichron Livrach, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. So the Gemara says, what would I have thought, Rachav Adif? I would have thought that riding the animal, right, and spurring it forward is even greater than leading it. The manhig v'tafis, because you're leading it, and you're also actually physically holding on to it. Kamash Mulan, though. Kamash Mulan will say that the act of going ahead and leading the animal is no less strong, no weaker than actually riding the animal and spurring it forward. Tashma. Shnaim shayimoch shin begamal, umanhigin bechamars. Well, since to this case, two people were going ahead and pulling a camel or leading a donkey. So again, interestingly enough, those terms are not synonymous. They actually refer to two different types of acquisition. Moshech is literally, you have to pull it. Even to the difference in our story, you see it. Camels really have to be pulled, as opposed to other animals, which when you just, you know, you lead them, you call them and they come. So if a person, two people, were going ahead and pulling a camel, or leading a donkey, Oshahaya Echad Moshe Ve'echad Manhig, or one person was leading and one person was pulling, so it's a type of test. So the halacha is that through these mechanisms, they have acquired the animal. Rabbi Huda says, no, the olam lo kana ad tehe mishicha begama bahan haga b'chamer. Rabbi Huda is of the opinion, however, that that is not correct. And Rabbi Huda holds that that animals have specific modes of acquisition. So for example, according to Rabbi Huda, Meshicha, pulling, works by a camel, and Hanhaga, leading, works by a donkey. Katani mihas, but we'll say at the end of the day, for our purposes, what does it say? Oshaya echad moshech ve'echad manhig. To which the Gemara says, moshech u'manhig in aval rochov lo. What can you extrapolate from this? That it's dafka only pulling and leading that works, but what won't work? Riding the animal. That riding the animal is not a valid form of acquisition. To which the Gemara says, no, lo, Huadin da'afilu rachav. It's not true. Even if you're riding it, you could acquire it. Vahadik tani moshech umanig. And that which the Bryce has said, pulling and leading, la'afuki med Rabbi Huda. This comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Huda. Because what does Rabbi Huda say? Do'amar achete meshicha begamavan haga b'chamar. Because most Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that you need specific forms of acquisition for specific forms of animals. So pulling works by a camel, and leading works by a donkey. Kamash mulan dafilu ipcha nami kani. Therefore, again, the Brisa goes out of this way to disprove or to discredit the position of Rabbi Huda and to say, no, that even Hanhaga by a gamal, even leading a camel, or even pulling a donkey will work. Ihaki, if that's the case, La'arvinu v'lisninu. If that's the case, then why don't you go ahead and blend all of the cases together and state them as one? Namely, how shnayim shayim mochshin, moshchin u'manhigin. If there are two people here, either pulling or leading an animal, bein begamal, bein bechomer. Whether ultimately, again, we're talking about a camel or a donkey. So why don't you just quote both of the cases together, as opposed to breaking them up into two separate cases? To which the Gemara says, because ika chad tzad. Because it was according to the Tanna Kamma, there is one way in which the acquisition does not work. Now, which way doesn't it work? Ika da amri mashicha b'chamer. So some say, according to the Tanna Kamma, pulling a donkey won't work. Ika da amri hanhaga b'gamo. And others say that the act of leading a camel will not work. This the most of misseifon. Others answer this question from the end of the Braisa. B'midazu will say that in this way, i.e., Meshicha and Hanhaga work to acquire an animal. So, does this not come to exclude a case of where you're riding the animal? And is the Braisa not teaching me that halacha l'maisa, riding the animal is not a valid form of acquisition? To which the Gemara says, lo lemi'ute ipcho. It's coming to go ahead and exclude the other case. Opposed to what we just said before, that according to the Tanna Kamma, the Tanna Kamma holds that not all forms of acquisition are valid for all types of animals. So the Tanna Kamma will hold that for certain animals, only certain types of acquisitions will work. If that's the case, is that not the same position as Rabbi Yehuda? No, the nafkamina between them would be one aspect that, or one mechanism that does not work for certain animals. So some say that this refers to Mashicha, to pulling a camel, donkey. Fine. So we'll say, so again, we're still left with our fundamental question, which is Rachav Kona, is riding an animal a valid form of acquisition or not? So the Gemara still has not proven that in a conclusive fashion. Both say, Tes Amud Aleph, right across from Tosas, I Hachi La'arvinhu. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Echad Rachav Chamer, Ve'echad Tafas B'mosira. So remember, again, we learned in the Raisa before, if one person is riding on the animal, and one person is holding on to the reins. Rebels, remember again, as we saw yesterday, Mosira is not just the reins attached to the body of the animal, they are the reins attached to the bit in the mouth of the animal. So one person is riding the animal, one person is holding on to the Mosira. Zekana Chamor, Vizekana Mosira. This is actually interesting. So the Gemara says that the guy riding on the donkey, he acquires the donkey, and the guy holding on to the reins, he acquires the reins. They both say the reins themselves are something of significance. The guy riding on the donkey gets the donkey. Guy on the reins gets the reins. Shmamina. So we'll say, what's the takeaway from this? Shmamina. Rachuv kani. Then we'll say, again, for our purposes, what this does teach us is that riding on an animal, although it's true, it might not acquire everything, but it certainly does acquire what? And not just something, but what something? The animal. The animal, right? Because again, the guy riding on the animal ultimately, again, is going to acquire the animal itself. Okay, not the reins. Not the reins, because there's someone else holding on to the reins. But Lamaisi acquires the animal. Switching words to Shmamina Rachov Kani. What do you see from here? You see from here that what? That Rachov, that riding on an animal, has the ability to acquire it. Hachanami b'manig b'raglov. To which the Gemara says, no. The case that they're talking about over here is where he's leading the animal. He's leading the animal. Manig b'raglov. If that's the case, then why doesn't the individual who's leading the animal also acquire the reins? So I'll say to which the Gemara says, you actually have to amend the Braisa and read it in the following way. This one, i.e. the one leading the animal and holding the reins, he goes ahead and acquires the animal and half of the reins, and the other guy who's just holding the reins, he acquires half of the reins. Okay? So Bishlama Rachov Kani, Tekamagbale, so we'll say, I understand. So we'll say, so again, the way the Gemara is setting up the case, let's just take a step back. The point the Gemara keeps coming to over here is that everyone will seem to agree that in a case of what we call of your rachov and manhig, rachov and manhig means I'm riding the animal and causing the animal to move by kicking it. So everybody seems to agree in that case that lamaisa you acquire the animal. The fundamental shaila is in a situation where I'm just sitting on top of the animal. What happens then? Is that a valid form of acquisition or not? So the Gemara is suggesting over here that the case we're dealing with here is that there's a guy riding on the animal, umanhig, and he's causing it ultimately to move forward. So he's going to acquire the animal and half of the reins. And there's another guy just holding on to the reins. That other guy is going to acquire the other half of the reins. So Bishlama Rachov Kani Dekamak Bale Ben Das. So I say, I understand why the Rachov, why the guy riding on the animal, is going to acquire half of the reins. Now, we'll say, the Gemara is going to show that this statement doesn't really make much sense in just a moment, but we'll read it. So I understand the guy riding on the animal, he acquires it. Why? Because the Magbale Ben Das, because a Ben Das is lifting it for him. Ela Tafos B'moseira B'mai Kani. I will say, the guy who's just holding on to the reins, how does he acquire half of the reins? Ima Ze Kanachamar V'kuli Moseira. Rather, what you have to say is the following. The guy riding on the animal, on the donkey, he acquires the donkey and all of the reins. The other guy, kana masha tafos biyado. We both say, at most he goes ahead and what? And acquires that which he is holding on to. To which the Gemara says, well, that doesn't make sense. Hai mai. What does this mean? So as I go back to yesterday's daf, if you hold that when you lift something up on behalf of your friend acquires it. That's only if you're picking it up when? With the intention of having your friend acquire it. Hi. So we'll say here in this case, each of these individuals is lifting up the reins to acquire it himself. And you're going to tell me now that if he doesn't acquire it, is he makni it to someone else? It doesn't make any sense. Ravashi says, you're right, you have to rewrite the case. To which Ravashi explains, the guy riding on the donkey will acquire the donkey u beis pagia. Rashi says over here, beis pagia, mashe berosha chamar uki chamar dami. This refers to the part of the reins that go over the head of the donkey, that sit on the head of the animal. So that part that sits on the head of the animal is considered to be part of the animal itself. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, again, the guy riding on the donkey is going to acquire the donkey and the part of the reins that sit on the head. Vizeh, and the other guy who's not riding the donkey, but rather, again, he's just holding part of the reins, kana masha tafas biyado. He acquires that which he is holding. Vahashar lo kana lozeh. And we'll say the rest of the reins, neither party has effectively acquired. Okay? Rabbi Avo only kidiktani. Rabbi Avo said no. It's as we originally thought. Rashi says, what did kidiktani? Zekana chamar vazekana mosira. Vafilo beis pagea shachamar. We'll say it's originally as we said, that the guy sitting on the donkey acquires the donkey, and the guy holding onto the reins acquires the reins. Vahoil, and why is that? Hoil of the yachol v'natka ulahavia etzlo. Because we'll say, why? What's the logic? Because since the individual who is holding the reins has the ability to yank the reins off the animal, therefore what? Therefore he acquired this. So we'll say, Rabbi Avo is advancing something very interesting over here. So Rabbi Avo says, in the case where you have Reuven sitting on the animal and Shimon holding onto the reins, Reuven will acquire the chamor, Shimon will acquire the reins. But why does Shimon acquire the reins? Because technically speaking, if Shimon were to yank hard enough, the entire reins could come to him. So because of that, he acquires it. To which the Gemara says, but really? Is that true? Vaha, Rabbi Avo, Berusehi. It's mistaken. I mean, it literally means it's on the outside. Rabbi Avo's position is a mistake. In other words, that this notion that if you could pull something next to you, that it becomes yours, that's a mistaken notion. So how do we know that? The Gemara says, because if you don't say that Rabbi Avo is mistaken, talis shehi munachas chetzia gabe karka, the chetzia gabe amal. Listen to this case. You have a cloak that is laying half of it is on the ground, and half of it is on a pillar. Okay, so we'll say, so just so you understand this image, the pillar obviously is off the ground. So part of it is sitting on top of the pillar, part of it is sitting on the ground. What happens? Uba echad veigbia chetzia al gabe karka, and then one guy goes ahead and lifts it up from the part that's sitting on the ground. Uba achar vehigbia chatzim al gabi amud. And then what happens? You're both say one guy picks it up off, picks the other half off of the pillar. So will you say over here in this case? Rashi says chatzim al gabi amud. Techevan dimamakom gavoahu haoch zaberasha hasheni noach lo natekulavia etzlo dolomachzer akba. You understand over here? the reason why the guy in the pillar has a little bit of an advantage, he has a height advantage. So because he has a height advantage, it's easier for him to yank it out of the hands of the first guy. So will you say in this case, Ha'achanami, the Kamakani Ubasra Lokani, would you say that in this case, so the second guy who's on the pillar will acquire the cloak because he could yank it out of the hands of the first, and the first one will not acquire? In other words, obviously we don't say such a thing like that. So the Gemara says, Elaha Rabbi Avo Barusi. Rabbi, you have to say Rabbi Avo's position is mistaken. And therefore I will say this idea that when you have two guys, one on the camel, one holding the reins, that the guy on the reins, that the guy holding the reins acquires all of the reins. Why? Even the part over the head. Because he could yank it out of the hands of the guy in the camel, or he could yank it off the He could yank it off the donkey. That is a mistaken notion. Tashma, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rachuv Basad, that's what they say. Now the Gemara is going to bring another example. Remember, still trying to answer one simple question, which is Rachuv Kani? Does riding an animal acquire it or not? Simple question. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rachuv Basad, Umanik, but you're kind of, if you ride an animal in the Sada, Rashi says over here, Rachuv Basad, Behema Shamatsia Kona. If let's say, we'll say, I find an animal, Hefker, and I want to acquire it, the act of riding it in the field, is a form of acquisition. Umanhig bi'ir, or if I lead it in the city, meaning I'm in the city and I lead the animal, kana, so again, I acquire the animal. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that riding an animal is what? Is a valid form of acquisition. Which the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Hachanami manig baraglob. This could be talking about a case of what? This could be talking about a case, ultimately, again, of where I'm causing the animal to move with my feet. Ihachi hainu manig. If that's the case, then is that not the same as leading the animal? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Tre gavni manig. There are two different types. There are two different cases of manig. One case, ultimately, is where I lead the animal, walking in front of the animal. And the other case is where I go ahead and ride it and cause it to move. So the Gemara says, ihachi, if that's the case, Rachov be'ir my time alokani. If that's the case, then what's wrong with riding the animal in the city? Meaning, why? It only says that riding it in the field is a valid form of acquisition, but riding it in the city is not. What's wrong with riding it in the city? Because we'll say it's not normal behavior to ride animals in the middle of the city. So because it's not normal behavior to ride animals in the middle of the city, therefore it's not a valid form of acquisition. Listen to this question, but if that's the case, you're telling me then that the only time you acquire something is when you acquire it in a normative fashion. So what happens if someone were to go ahead, Ruben's walking to shul, he finds a wallet, he lifts up the wallet and he acquires it. Are you going to tell me that because it's not the normal derech of things to acquire a wallet on Shabbos, that he's not going to be kona it? So must we know that that's not the case? So the Gemara says, my da'avid, avid v'kani. Even though it's not right for Reuven to lift up a wallet and to acquire it on Shabbos, but they're both saying, hagbah. If he lifted it up, he acquired it. So same thing over here. Okay, you want to tell me it's not normal for people to go ahead and ride animals in the city, which they're both saying, just think about this for a moment. You're talking about riding animals in populated areas. You wouldn't do that. I understand that it perhaps is not normal, but l'maisa, at the end of the day, it's still a valid kinyan. Why wouldn't it acquire the animal? Rather, the case we're dealing with over here is a case of where he's purchasing the animal. Reuven's buying the animal, and the seller tells him, acquire this in a normative fashion. So therefore, because the sale is predicated on the purchaser acquiring it in a normative fashion, therefore, again, the act of riding the animal in a city is not considered normative, and therefore will not effectively acquire the animal. I'm a base. But if at the end of the day, it's a shosarabim. So look at Rashi. So irush shosarabim. If there's a shosarabim in the city, Rashi says, "Vibir shosarabim." Who I'm reading Rashi. Beir the derech lirchov sham velo lahanig pen yifseku over a drachem beino lebein behemto. So Rabbi says, so interestingly enough, if, however, the city has a public thoroughfare, so in the public thoroughfare, it would be common for a person to go ahead and ride his animal, then such an acquisition does work. Furthermore, the adam chashev ukani, or for that matter, if the person who is acquiring the animal is an adam chashev, is an important person. So I'll say important people, Rashi says over here, yi adam chashev hu, ein darko lahanik behema baraglov. So important people don't lead their animals, but rather they go out and they ride their animals. V'derech kovah lirkov aleha, af besimto, she'in b'nei adam sham. So we'll say, so if a person has an adam chashev, so therefore riding the animal in a city would be considered to be a normative act, or v'i ishahi, or for that matter, again, for women, Rashi points out over here, v'chein isha, she'in b'koach lechov z'habehema, pentinoke kimena. So we'll say the concern is when you lead an animal, so the animal doesn't always follow. So apparently it used to be the derech of a woman to more often ride the animal than to go ahead and lead it in order to maintain a control over the animal. So I will say these would all be kanyo. These would all be cases where even though we just said before that the act of riding an animal in a city is considered to be an abnormal act and therefore would not affect acquisition. But lamaisa, these are exceptions, so that's below where for these individuals, ultimately it's a normative act. V'i inish zilu hukani. We'll say the third category here, people, it's quite interesting. So, or if the guy is just, zila means he's not a good guy. Not a good guy means he doesn't care about other people and he just pretty much does what he wants. So people like that ride their animals wherever they want to ride their animals. Look at Rashi, V'i inish zilu hukani, shadarka lirkov lifnei kol, af below dochak. So this guy rides his animals wherever he wants, even without a need. Lefi she'eno tsanua. It's interesting over here. Rav says that he's not tsanua. It's interesting Rashi's word choice over here. So tsanua, the essence of a tsanua means someone who cares about the impact of his actions on other people. So some people don't care. They say, you know what? I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to make me happy. And whatever the impact is, the impact is. So this guy is not a tsanua. He goes and he rides his animal wherever he wants. About Adam Benoni Kigon She'inu, which is reading Rashi. About Adam Benoni Kigon She'inu Choshuv Ba'usher Veino Bosh Laholich Pe'imu Raglav In Darko Lirko Besim Tavi'ir Mishum Stiyas. Fine. So we'll say, so these will all be the exceptions to the rule. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, Abai Rabbi Eliezer, Homen L'chaveiro Moshach Pe'imu Zulik Nos Kelem Shaleh Ha'mau. So I'll say, so just so you know, by the way, now, so how do we paskin? We paskin Rachuv Kani. Just so you know, we paskin that riding an animal is a valid form of acquisition of the animal. And that is true whether you cause the animal to move or whether you just go ahead and sit on top of the animal. That's how we pass in halacha l'maisa. So the Gemara says the following. I didn't want to leave that out just in case anybody has plans today. You know, says the Gemara. So what happened? Next case. Listen to this case. Ruvain, I say to Ruvain, take du meshicha, pull this animal, in order to acquire the utensils that are on top of it. So we'll say, in this case over here, I'm not giving Reuven the animal. I simply want to use the animal as the mechanism to convey ownership to Reuven of the kelim. So I tell him, do meshicha on the animal and you acquire the kelim. Mahu, what's the halacha? Liknos mi amarle kani, ela mashuch behemazu v'kani kelim shala. So we'll say, again, it kind of, Gemara assumes it goes without saying that if I was telling Reuven to acquire the animal, then what? He certainly acquires the kelim that are on top of the animal. The unique aspect of this case over here is I don't want him to acquire the animal. I'm simply using the animal as the mechanism to convey ownership of the utensils. Does that work? Does the mashiach of the animal allow Reuven to acquire the utensils or not? So we'll say, see, it's an interesting case. Now again, the Gemara is taking it for granted that if I gave Reuven the animal, that he would certainly what? Acquire the kelim that are on top of the animal. The shaila now is, I'm not giving him the animal, I want to give him the animal as the mechanism to acquire the kelim. Does that work? So says the Gemara, Amarava, so I'm taking a step back. Whoa, you took a major step here. You're assuming that if I gave Reuven the animal with the kelim on top of it, then what? He certainly acquires the kelim out of the animal. Is that true? How could that work? After all, I will say, now, the image we have of that, if you think about this for just a moment, is that the kelim are sitting on top of the animal. If I were to give Reuven the animal and the kelim, he would acquire the kelim by acquiring the animal. Sounds like what? Sounds like Kinyan Chatzar, right? It sounds like that the animal essentially becomes the courtyard, the Chatzar of Reuven, and Reuven acquires the kelim on top of the animal through the animal. So which the Gemara says, how could this be a good chatzar? Rav says, a good chatzar. Chatzar malechasi. This is a movable chatzar, right? And Rabbi said, we know the chatzar malechas. Look, I remember from our Gittin days that a chatzar, in order to acquire, must be what? Stationary. But if it's a movable chatzar, then it does not acquire. I say, maybe you'll see, you're right. When does the animal have the ability, or when can Reuven acquire the kelim through the animal? That's when the animal is standing still. So when it's standing still, it's a chatzar. So it still doesn't work. V'ha, kol she'ilu mahalech lokana, omeit v'yoshev lokana. But we'll say the way we paskin is that any chatzar that has the ability to move cannot acquire even when it's stationary. In other words, the designation of chatzar mahaleches, of a movable chatzar, is not a din in active movement, but rather what? It's a din in possible movement. So as long as it has the ability to move, even if it's currently stationary, that's still called the chatzar mahaleches. And if it's called the chatzar mahaleches, then what? It cannot acquire. The hilchasa bekafos. Oh, so I'll say, what's the case? The case is where the animal is tied up. So we'll say, so remember again, we actually had this case in Gittin, but dealing with an eved, not dealing with an animal. So the idea is that the animal is tied up, therefore what? The possibility for mobility has been removed. Then in that case, again, the animal could function as a proper chatzar, and therefore by conveying ownership of the animal to Reuven, Reuven is also able to go ahead and acquire the kelim. Amru le'rav papa, v'rav huna b'rei d'av Yoshua l'rava. So Rav papa and Rav huna b'rei d'av Yoshua said to Rava, and let me atah yimalech b'svina. The kaf to dog even nafalu soch svina hachanai mi dechatzer mahalecha. See, also listen to this case. But then what about the following case? I'm on a boat, and what happens? Fish jump onto my boat. So you're going to tell me then that my boat doesn't have the ability to acquire the fish. After all, again, because it will say, again, just so you understand this case, I'm on my boat with other people. Fish jump onto the boat. Reuven and Shimon are there. They start grabbing the fish. I say, hey, this is my fish because it came into my chatzar. Maybe you're going to say, no, it's not a good, your boat is not a good chatzar. Why? Because it's a chatzar mahaleches, right? Because again, it's a movable chatzar. So the which the Gemara says, Amar Lei, this is very interesting. Svina menach naicha, umayuhu dekama matulei. The boat's not moving at all. The boat's stationary. It's the water that moves the boat. So we'll say, this obviously is talking about a boat that's not actively being moved. We'll say it's an incredible metaphor in life also. You know, people are like boats. There are two different types of boats in life. There are boats that just sit there and get moved by the waters. Whatever current, whatever direction the water's going in, that's the way the boats will go also. And there are some people who choose to use their oars. Mamasha, a din and direction of life. In any event, the Gemara is assuming over here that in this case, the boat is stationary, the water moves it, therefore it's a proper chatzar. So we'll say, if that's the case, a man wants to divorce his wife, so she's walking in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and he throws a get into her lap, or into her basket. So I guess you're going to say this is not going to work either. Why? Because it's a chatzar mahaleches. It's a moving chatzar. To which the Gemara says, Amrle kalsa meinach naicha v'ihi dekama sagim etusa. To which the Gemara answers, no, the basket is stationary. The basket is stationary. It's just the woman that's moving. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting because you see from the Gemara over here that the status of a chatzar mahaleches is lav dafka. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that's not moving. It just has to be something that's not moving of its own volition. See, even if it's being moved, as long as the object inherently is something that is stationary, like a basket, like a boat, then by definition, even if it's being moved by the water, or even if it's being moved by the woman, that's still called a proper chatzar and has the ability to acquire. Says the Mishnah. Well, so now we come to a fascinating case. Listen to this case. I'm riding on an animal. And what happens? I see a metzia. I see, it doesn't mean like something on sale. Meaning I see literally an object. It's a tough crowd this morning. All right. Wow. So it's no coffee. Okay. So what happens? I go ahead and I see a watch on the ground. Actually, let's choose something. I see $100 bill on the ground. Let's keep it easy. I see $100 bill on the ground. And what happens? So Reuven, I'm riding on my animal. Reuven happens to be walking next to me. Reuven, you know, be a good guy. Do me a favor. Lift up that $100 bill for me and give it to me. So Nutla. So Reuven lifts it up and he says, great, thank you, I just acquired this for myself. What's the halacha? Sachava. Ruvain acquires it. Rabbah said, at the end of the day, it's an item of hefker. It's an item of hefker. So if Ruvain chooses to go ahead and acquire this for himself, the acquisition works. However, imishenasna lo amra ani zachisi batchila lo amra klum. But again, I will say, if Reuven handed it to me, and then after he handed it to me, he said, oh, by the way, I acquired it for myself first, then such a statement ultimately, again, means nothing. I will say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Lo amar klum, da'afilu arminon, da'afilu arminon, makbiya metzila chavero, lo kana chavero, kevan diyoy v'lei kanyin emi marav shachs. I kanye kamod. So I will say, so we're going to get into this now, about makbiya metzila chavero. This is going to go back to our sugya from yesterday, about lifting up a found object, or a lost object, for the benefit of your friend. So I will say, we'll see that actually later on. But the point over here is that Lemaisa, now I want to mention one thing the Mishnah is leaving out. The Mishnah is not commenting on the nature or quality of Reuven's actions. In other words, did Reuven do something, although Reuven technically is the owner of the $100 bill, if he lifts it up and acquires it, is this something that's appropriate or not? So that we'll see later on. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, Misha Liket Es Apea V'Amar Harei Zu L'Ploni Ani. So listen to this. So let's say Reuven goes ahead and collects pay. Remember, pay refers to the agricultural tithe, that you have to leave a corner of your field for the poor. So what happens if Reuven goes ahead and goes into the field and collects pay for Shimon? Shimon is a pauper. So Reuven goes in there lifting it up, taking the pay for Shimon. So does that work out? In other words, the classic case of pay is essentially, my pay is hefker for the aniyim. The poor come in, they get it themselves. In this case, Reuven is taking possession of this payah for Shimon the Ani. Does that work? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Zachalo. Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, it works. The Chum say, Yitnenu l'Ani ha'nim tzarishon. The Chum say, no, you have no right to acquire payah on behalf of someone else. Rather, what do you have to do? You have to give it to the first Ani you come across. Omer Ula, Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Machlokes le'ashir l'Ani. So listen to this. The machlokes ultimately is in a case where the person who is taking the payah is an ashir, and he's giving it to an ani. So we'll say in this case over here, Reuven himself is wealthy. Reuven is wealthy, but he's not stealing. He's acquiring the payah on behalf of him. He's acquiring the payah on behalf of his friend Shimon, who's a pauper. Rabbi Eliezer Saver, Migo di by mafkir nechase v'havi ani v'chazi. So we'll say this. Rabbi Eliezer says, technically speaking, we'll say if you want to go ahead and entitle yourself to payah, there is technically an easy way to do that. How do you do that? If you make all of your property hefker, what happens the moment you make your property hefker? You become an ani. The moment you become an ani, you become entitled to payah. So Rabbi Eliezer says like this. Since Reuven, who's now presently an usher, technically speaking, if he were to make his property hefker, he can go ahead and what? Collect the payah himself. Hashta nami chazile. So over here, technically speaking, he could acquire payah. Umigo de zaki l'nafshe, zaki nami l'chabe. So this is a fascinating argument. So Rabbi Eliezer will say that since technically speaking, if Reuven wanted to make all of his property hefker, he can become an ani. When he becomes an ani, he's entitled to payah. So since technically he could acquire it for himself, he could also what? Acquire it on behalf of Shimon, his pauper friend. But Rabbanan Savi, the Rabbanan say, no. Chad migo arminon, tre migo lo arminon. You know what? One migo will say, but two migos he wants. In other words, the argument of Rabbi Eliezer is predicated on two migos. Migo number one is, since he could be mafgir his nechasim and make himself into an ani and acquire the payah, he could acquire the payah now as well. And migo number two is, since he could acquire it for himself, he could acquire it for his fellow as well. To which Rabbanan say, one migo per halachic argument. You know, one migo per custom over here. You can't have two migos in building a halachic argument. Avame ani lo ani divrei hakol zochalo. Rabbi say everyone agrees that let's say when one ani is acquiring it for another ani, that will work. Why? Demigo de zochi lenafshe zochet nami lechavre. Because Rabbi say since an ani has the ability to acquire the payah for himself, he also has the ability to acquire the payah for his fellow. All right, so we will stop over here for today. Mirat Hashem will pick right back up over here tomorrow.